Hello, everybody. It me. This is going to be the fourth video and podcast episode in my gender affirming journey series. And in this episode, I'm going to talk all about my hysterectomy and how I was able to get one at 27 years old without having had any children or being married. So yeah, this is going to be a really thorough, really in-depth video and episode. If you're watching this on my YouTube channel, you can also listen to my podcast, Living Deliciously, stream it wherever you get your podcasts. Or if you're listening from my podcast, you can also watch on my YouTube channel, Dabby Longlegs. So yeah, I have timestamps included because this is such an in-depth episode. So you could jump to different topics if you're looking for something specific. And yeah, I'm basically going to be covering why I wanted a hysterectomy in the first place, how I was able to go about getting one, what the actual surgery prep, the surgery itself, and the recovery was like, and what my life is like now that about 4 months have passed and I've been experiencing all sorts of benefits ever since. So I'm going to be sharing more about that as well. Here is your content warning. I'm going to be describing what having a uterus was like for me. It was pretty unpleasant. I'm going to be talking about periods and the reproductive system for people who have uteruses, and even a little bit about sex. And yeah, so if that's too graphic for you or too much information for you, go ahead and skip this one. You know, you do you, do what's best for you. The reason I want to share this is to raise awareness about PMDD, about endometriosis, and about how unfair it is in the medical system that people who have uteruses aren't really able to make choices about their body that are best for their health. And I also want to share my experiences because I know there's a lot of other people who've had similar health issues as me who feel alone. And a lot of the times people with uteruses are stigmatized and pathologized and made to feel like we're crazy or we're overdramatic or we're making things up when we're not. And so, yeah, I really just want to raise awareness about that and make other people who've gone through the same thing realize that they're not alone. And I also want to share about this because there's not a whole lot of information out there about trans and non-binary people having hysterectomies. And so, yeah, I just want to raise awareness and maybe hopefully encourage people to have more empathy around this kind of stuff. So let's begin. First off, I'm going to talk about why I wanted a hysterectomy in the first place. So one, I've had a phobia of pregnancy since I was 6 years old. Okay. Like, I knew at a young age that the idea of pregnancy was horrifying to me. Whenever I would hear my mother talk about birth stories, or any mother for that matter, talk about birth or having babies, I would just get really squeamish. I'd get really grossed out. The whole process was just like not okay to me. Another thing is that I was raised in a hella fundamentalist, like evangelist kind of household. And so obviously I was not given accurate information about how bodies work or how babies are made until I was way older. But simultaneously, I was taught to like worship a deity that was born from a virgin, and that was somehow okay. So given all that information, I was like a 6 year old, like on the playground, and while my friends are playing, I am like sick, like physically nauseous with anxiety about like getting pregnant. Like, I was just like so terrified that somehow I could randomly just like get pregnant. And it was like a really deep rooted fear that like lasted for a very long time, like well into like my late teens. And it was pretty fucking awful and pretty traumatizing. So yeah, I was really afraid of pregnancy, did not want it to happen. And then even when I was older and I had access to information and birth control and all that, I was still really paranoid about pregnancy. And apparently that's really common in people with religious trauma. So if you've had a similar experience, you're not alone. I see you. You're not crazy. I'm sending you virtual hugs. My love goes out to you, and you deserve better. We all deserve better. So that was one reason. Second reason, Puberty was fucking traumatic as fuck for me. I hated all of it. The moment it began, it all just felt terribly wrong to me. And now that I'm like, you know, accepting of my queerness and my non-binariness, I'm like, oh, like no shit. It makes sense that going through a female, quote, puberty was traumatic for you because you didn't identify with that. Yeah, and I was terrified of getting my period. Like, I was equally as terrified of pregnancy as I was of getting my period. And when I finally did get my period, it was awful. Like, my periods were always awful. They were really heavy. They were really painful. I would get really nauseous. I would get really dizzy and lightheaded from, like, losing blood. And, not only did I have PMS, I also had PMDD, which I know I had PMDD as soon as I started getting my periods. However, I did not get properly diagnosed with it until about like 2 years ago when I finally got an OB-GYN who actually like listened to me. So for those who don't know, PMDD is often described by people who have it as PMS on steroids. It's not that you're like just a little cranky or a little crampy a few days before your period. It's that you feel like a different person for weeks out of the month because of what your menstrual cycle is doing, because of the way that your neurotransmitters and your hormones are affected by having a fluctuating menstrual cycle. And basically it's like from the moment you ovulate to like a few days after your period, you feel like a different person. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. Basically like the way that my doctor who finally diagnosed me like described it as, he said, for me personally, I had developed like a PTSD response to my period. Because my periods were already so bad, the moment those hormone fluctuations would start, I would start to have like panic attacks the week before my period. I would get really nauseous because of the anxiety being so bad. And then, you know, I'd get the classic mood swings of being like really angry, having really ridiculous food cravings. You know, like I said earlier, the like anemia, the wooziness, and being doubled over in pain. So basically, like the 2 weeks before my period, I feel like shit. The week of my period, I feel like shit. And the week after my period, it's like, it feels the way you feel when you're recovering from being sick, where it's like you're not 100%, but you feel a little bit better, but like you have to make up for all that time you lost from missing out on things being sick. Imagine feeling like that like for 9 months out of the year, every year. That, like, I did the math and I was like, holy shit, that left me with about 3 months out of the whole year of feeling somewhat normal, assuming that there wasn't other like stressors in my life. So basically my period, my menstrual system, all of that was like ruining my shit. On top of that, a lot of the performances and like the shows that I did would fall at the end of the month. So I would spend all month getting ready for these shows and putting an act together and doing these really cool tricks and being really excited, only to fucking like be bloated and pimply and breaking out and feeling awful once show week came around and like losing all of my motivation to do the show and being in a really bad mood and probably not being very fun to be around because of my stupid fucking period. Hated it. Hated it. So during this whole time, I was just like, please, like, rip this thing out. I don't want it. Birth control also fucking sucked. Fun fact, hormonal birth control that has estrogen in it shrinks your clitoris. That's horrible. That's horrible. Then I tried birth control pills, didn't like it. I tried IUDs, which are really traumatic to insert because they clamp open your cervix. And fun fact, your cervix is attached to your vagus nerve. So it literally like dysregulates your nervous system to have those things inserted and removed. I had the hormonal one, the Mirena, and I also had the Paragard one to see if I would do better without the hormones. I did not. It made my cramps so bad, I would fall over. I would sometimes faint. I was constantly bleeding. Eventually I tried the implant, which like, you can almost see like a little scar there. I hate it. I hated that thing too, because I could like feel the little stick poking around in my arm, which triggered my claustrophobia, made me squeamish as fuck. And the side effects of the hormones from the implant would give me really intense migraines. So my migraines would already get bad because of my period, but like these migraines would last for like a week. I would be bleeding for like 3 weeks at a time. I would get really bad visual disturbances from the migraines and from the hormones. Fucking hated it. I just fucking hated it. I was done. I also realized I was child free. Because of my upbringing, I would also get told that, like, you know, when you become a mother, when you become a mom, when you have kids, when you have a baby, when you're a mother. And it was just like drilled into my head that my purpose on this earth was to have kids. And then I finally came to this empowered decision that I didn't fucking want to do it. I didn't want to do it. So why do I have this organ ruining my life? And then when I came to terms about my queerness, I was like, I don't even identify with this part of my body. So why is it ruining my life? So those are just a few of the reasons why I do not want to have a uterus anymore. So now, when it came to getting medical approval, so when I called my OBGYN, the one who diagnosed me with PMDD, when I called him initially, and I talked about this in my last video and episode where I talked about getting gender affirming care, I told him, hey, you know, I've been talking to my therapist, I have been exploring my gender identity throughout the years, I want to microdose testosterone, and I want to get top surgery. And he was totally supportive. And he's like, yeah, we'll put you in. Just so you know, we do bottom surgery too. And I was kind of like, that's weird, but I didn't say anything. Then when I started seeing my hormone doctor, she mentioned bottom surgery again. And I was like, I don't want to have bottom surgery. Like, I don't want a phalloplasty. That's not really my personal goal. And she said, oh no, we mean like hysterectomies. Like a lot of non-binary people consider a hysterectomy to be bottom surgery. And that's just something we do. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I had always imagined that, like, when I would be in my 30s, that I would have to write this long, agonizing essay, basically breaking down all the points that I just told all of y'all, and having to, like, give it to my doctor to convince them to give me a hysterectomy. And here they are just telling me that that's something that they can do as a gender-affirming surgery. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Sign me the fuck up right now, y'all. So anyway, not once did they ask me if I was like they ask you like if you have like a partner or like basically like what kind of anatomy you're like having sex with, but they weren't like, oh, does your husband mind that you're having this surgery? Like there was none of that. They didn't ask me a bajillion times if I was sure I didn't want to have kids. They asked me like once or twice, mainly because when I went on the testosterone, they said, you know, this might affect your fertility. So we're just asking in case you want to freeze your eggs. Like, that was it. Like, this is not a typical experience for people who have uteruses, but I got really lucky, and I wish it could be this easy for everybody. Like, there needs to be awareness that, like, it is not this easy for the average person to get a hysterectomy. Anyway, so I was just really incredibly happy about this. So then they put me on a wait list. The wait list was like 6 to 12 months. And I was like, fuck, like I cannot have this thing in my arm. I hate it. Like, how long am I going to deal with this thing? Like, that's such a long wait time. Here's where things get a little magical, a little woo. I am really into like witchy woo shit. I'm really into the space weather. I'm really into the planets and astrology and all that good stuff. So I was learning about Jupiter magic, and some people describe Jupiter as like Santa Claus. That's not really my thing. I personally like to describe him as a cosmic sugar daddy. So what I was doing was every Thursday, which is ruled by Jupiter, I would have a little drink date with Daddy Jupiter. I would pour him a drink, I'd get some snacks, burn some incense, play some frequency binaural beats music for him, and sit down and thank him for all of the gifts that I have and my intentions for sharing my gifts with the world, and also asking him for gifts as well. And one thing that I asked him for every time was a hysterectomy for Christmas. Y'all. So anyway, I had it with this stupid implant thing, so I made an appointment to have it taken out. As I am driving to the appointment, my partner is in the car with me. I get a phone call from the doctor saying, there's been a cancellation. Would you like to have your hysterectomy on December 28th? Which happened to be the day that Jupiter entered my sign, because I'm a Pisces. Y'all, I started crying on the phone. I just started crying. I was like, yes, because that was like 3 weeks from the day that I got that phone call. So I thought I'd have to wait 6 months to a year, and now it's happening within a month. I am sobbing. I'm just like, all I wanted for Christmas was a hysterectomy and now I'm getting it. And like the nurse was like, okay, let's get things scheduled out for you. So basically, yeah, like they scheduled an appointment for me to talk with the surgeon where, you know, I could ask questions, they would give me instructions, and then I had to take a COVID test. And I also, as far as like the surgery, I decided to keep my eggs or my ovaries because as far as I knew, they weren't really causing me any issues. But then also if you remove your ovaries, there's like increased mortality rate if you don't go on hormone replacement therapy, which I didn't want to do. And, yeah, there's just like so many complications. Like you can basically like go into early menopause. And since I didn't want to be taking full doses of testosterone, like I just thought it would be best to keep them. So yeah. Another thing that I was speculating was whether or not I wanted to keep my cervix. And I decided not to keep it. Mainly my concern was that like the idea of having the vagine cut open freaked me out and I was really afraid of nerve damage or loss of sensitivity. But then I talked to my hormone doctor and she said that a lot of her trans and non-binary patients who had it removed actually enjoyed doing the sex more afterwards because they didn't get like that punched in the cervix feeling anymore. So they were able to enjoy things more. And as soon as she said that, I was like, oh, sold, sign me up, like get it out of there. And I'm really glad I made that decision. So anyway, so that's how all of like the prep stuff went. Now for the surgery itself, I made like a whole document, like making all these points to make sure I covered everything. So I'm just like scrolling down. Okay. So leading up to the surgery, I set up the house. I got everything all cleaned up. I cooked a bunch of food. I froze a bunch of soups. I created a spreadsheet for my friends to sign up to give me support, drop off snacks and food for me, which was really nice. The night before the surgery, I'm an anxious, little sensitive baby, so I cried a lot the night before, and I cried a lot the morning of, because I hadn't had a major surgery before. I had my wisdom teeth pulled when I was in, like, high school, but this was, like, a really big deal. And another thing that I did for myself to make things easy was, like, setting up a table near the foot of my bed that had like all my pajamas and my medicines on it. So that way I wouldn't have to like bend over to like go through my drawers and stuff. Another thing I did to prepare was I quit smoking and vaping and dabbing because they put a breathing tube in your throat during the surgery. So you just don't want any irritation there. And then I was taking a lot of vitamins, especially lysine and zinc, because they help with wound healing and they just help your immune system and like cell growth overall. I was also eating a lot of protein and bone broth to get amino acids so that, you know, once again, that's like assisting with like the healing process and everything. Then I go to pre-op. Once we got like to the hospital, I was able to stop crying. I was just like really calm. It was just like, okay, we're fucking doing this shit. So they put me in the gown and the grippy socks and the little hairnet thing. And they give you this like heated inflatable blanket that feels really nice. And there was a long delay for me. So like I got there at 10. I didn't get to the actual surgery until 3. So I was just like listening to podcasts, stay calm and like playing games on my phone and stuff. They gave me an IV. I didn't cry. I was so proud of myself. My anesthesiologist was really hot. And he came in to like warn me about some of the effects of anesthesia and like the anti-nausea medicine. And he's like, now, just a heads up, we need you to know that a side effect of the anti-nausea medicine is dry mouth and dry eyes. And I was just sort of like, that's cute. I think I'm familiar enough with those side effects. Like, I'll be able to deal. Like, I'm Debbie. But yeah, anyway. And then the surgeon came in to talk to me, and she was just really sweet and encouraging and just like, you know, you'll do great. This will be great. You know, it's December, it's a good time to be like low activity and just chilling in bed and drinking soups. Like, just don't do anything for the next few weeks. So being in the pre-op is sort of like this weird like liminal space because it's like you can't leave and all you know is that like once you get out of there, like things are going to be different. So that was just sort of like a trip, but for some reason I was just really calm. And yeah, so I'm just like vibing in the pre-op room. Finally, the nurse comes in to roll me into the surgery room. Now, next 30 minutes to a second or so, trigger warning for domestic violence and murder. I got like a random taste of like fucking SVU hospital soap opera drama. Like, I wish that there was like crazy organ music playing in the background during this, because when the nurse is rolling me to the operation room, another nurse catches their attention and is like, "Hey, you know that guy that you helped last night in the emergency room? Well, it turns out it was his wife driving the car and he died. And it was a toxic relationship. So now it's a domestic violence case." And I'm just like sitting there like, so then the nurse like says goodbye to them and rolls me into the elevator, and they start spilling the tea. And they're like, "Yeah, so I helped this guy in the ER. He came in because his legs were broken because he got hit by a car, and I had to carry his legs for him. And then like it turned out that his wife was the one who was driving the car." And I'm just like, blink, blink, what? What? Ah! Like, whoa. Anyway, they roll me into the operation room and they're like, "What surgery are you having?" And I'm like, "A hysterectomy." And I'm like thanking them for my Christmas present and how it's a Christmas miracle. Thank you, Daddy Jupiter. And then they're like, "Okay, we're going to give you the druggy drugs now." That I don't know. I don't remember the name of the drug. But they put this stuff in my IV. And like within seconds, I was like, whoa. Like, I feel like I took a fat edible. Like, that's the only way I could describe it. And they put me on the operating table, and I don't remember shit after that. Like, I probably just passed out the second they put me on the table. That was it. So that was the surgery. So then post-op. Post-op fucking sucked. I did not like it. It wasn't like the worst experience of my life, but it fucking sucked. So basically, I woke up crying. I basically woke up crying as if like I woke up having had my period. It was just like really awful, like crawling, like gnawing, clawing kind of like pain in my abdomen. I was just crying. I was like, "I feel like I'm having my period, but it's not there, but it hurts." Basically, so like a little more in depth about like what they do during the surgery. So it's a hysterectomy and a salpingectomy. So they remove what's like coating the ovaries, because that's linked to ovarian cancer, so might as well get rid of it. They remove the fallopian tubes, they make an incision in your belly button, and then two incisions on your stomach. So I have like these little tiny 1-inch incisions on both sides of my stomach, and then they cut open the cervix, and then they pull everything out through the vagine, and then they sew the end of the vagine shut. So it's like a little sock in there. So anyway, so it's really painful. Like, there's, you know, I've been cut open and shit. So I'm in a lot of pain. And the first thing they tell me is that I need to get up to go pee. And I'm like, "No, I do not. Like, I can't even feel that part of my body." They give you a nerve block in your stomach during the surgery too for pain. And so the reason why they want you to go pee is because they put a catheter in you during the surgery. And basically after the surgery, if the nerve block happened to like go into your bladder and you can't like feel the nerve endings in your bladder, like they have to send you home with a catheter because like you could, yeah, I don't know. I don't want a fucking catheter. The idea of tubes like sticking out of me is just not cool with me. So obviously like I want to be able to, but I just couldn't. I'm like, "Y'all, I'm in so much pain. Like, I can't even think." So they give me drugs and then I pass out, and then I wake up crying again. And again, they're like, "You need to pee." And I'm like, "No, I'm in pain. Give me drugs." I pass out. I swear this repeated like 3 or 4 times. One of the times that I woke up, they're like, "We really need you to pee." And I was like, "I can't even like feel that part of my body. Listen, y'all." So they're like, "We need to do an ultrasound of your bladder." Well, guess the fuck what? Your bladder is right in front of your uterus, which I no longer had. So they're pushing the ultrasound thing over the area of my stomach that just got operated on, and I am crying. And they're like, "Oh, it turns out your bladder is empty." And I'm like, "No fucking shit, Sherlock's." So they give me more fluid, they give me pain medicine, they give me nausea medicine, because that whole situation fucking hurt and I want to throw up because I'm crying. And then I pass out. And then I finally, they also give me a heating pad, which really helped. Finally, I wake up and I'm like, I'm ready to pee. And I do it. And then they're like, all right, you're ready to go home. Fucking finally. It's almost 10 o'clock at night. Like, post-op was only supposed to be an hour. I was in there for 4 hours, y'all. And, like, the nurse would, like, come up to me and, like, give me instructions about the medicine. Or, like, she would, like, put her hand on my arm all casually while she was talking. And I'd just be like, please, like, stop. Like, please leave me alone. It was awful. So I was, like, so relieved to finally go home. I was in so much pain. It was horrible. That was the worst. Like, that was, like, the worst part of it. Anyway. So, the recovery part. You cannot engage your core or your abdominal area at all, which, like, you don't realize how much you rely on your core until, like, you can't use it. So, I needed help, like, getting up, like, getting out of bed. I had to have my partner, like, pull on my arms to get me out of bed. And then each time I would, like, stand up, I would have to be, like, and, like, catch my breath. Like, you can't really do, like, big belly breaths either. So it's, like, really shallow breathing. It was not a fun time. My partner had to, like, help feed me and help me get dressed for, like, a couple days. I was just a giant baby. You can't do heavy lifting. You're not supposed to lift more than 5 pounds, or as they say, a bag of groceries for, like, 6 weeks. Your stomach is swollen from being inflated. Basically, like, they inflate your stomach with gas during the surgery so that, like, there's, like, so, like, your organs are, like, floating so that, like, they're not, like, pushing up against the area where they're going to, like, cut off. So it's basically so that they don't, like, cut your intestines open or anything. But, like, that combined with the anesthesia really makes your stomach swollen. So I looked pregnant for, like, 2 weeks after my hysterectomy. It was not cute. It was not cute at all. But whatever. During that time, Gas-X and stool softeners are your friends. And I mean, that's kind of like true with any surgery. So if you know, you know. Basically, I got through the recovery by taking a lot of naps and watching a lot of movies and playing lots of games on my phone and getting like expansion packs for The Sims. That was really fun. Then the very next day, I get a call from my doctor and she asked me how I'm doing. And then she said, so you have endometriosis, and we found a lot of it on your bladder, and we found a lot of it like around your uterus, and we're able to get rid of it. However, there was a little bit left over on like a major blood vessel, so we had to leave that there. And I just started sobbing because, y'all, like, if you look up the symptoms of endometriosis, like, it turned out that I had all of them. I had all of the, like, in addition to the PMDD, like, there was so much overlap. Like, I had a fucking disease in my uterus. And, like, I just started sobbing because, like, all those years of feeling crazy, of friends and family members, you know, treating me like I was overreacting just because I was on my period, when it's like, no. Like, I had a serious illness that, like, people who have endometriosis usually get put on bed rest for it because of how severe it can get. And meanwhile, I was trying to like push through because of all that social conditioning of like not wanting to be too dramatic. And I was probably like making things even worse for myself by doing that. And I just, yeah, there was a lot of like emotional intensity there because it's a really awful illness. And, I just felt validated. Like, I knew that my uterus was causing all of this shit to go wrong in my body, and like, no wonder. Like, no fucking wonder. Like, I wasn't imagining it. So if any of y'all know people who have PMDD or really bad periods or endometriosis, like, fucking cut them some slack, because like, we are not being over dramatic. We're not making things up. These are like really serious illnesses that impact people way more than you realize. And the thing is that endometriosis usually doesn't get diagnosed without surgery. So if I didn't have this surgery, I would have just kept repeating these cycles and like living my life thinking that I was crazy when I wasn't. And so, yeah, like that was another reason why I was just really grateful to have had this surgery. And now at this point, like, it was medically necessary for me to have a hysterectomy because of this awful illness. So yeah, January was also a really good time to be recovering from surgery because there was the Omicron wave going on. And so it's like, it's not like I'm trying to go out and socialize anyway. So, yeah, I was just extra cozy. I was just like tapping into like that winter energy of like, I'm going to hibernate and just be under my blankets and eating soup. So yeah, basically just soup, smoothies, takeout from friends. That's how I just kind of like got through the rest of the time. Talked to my therapist a lot, like venting about like, you know, the surgery and my endometriosis diagnosis and all of that. As far as the medicine, honestly, Oxy is trash. I'd never taken Oxy before. I was kind of like excited about it. Like, ooh, I get to try a drug, for my recovery. And honestly, it just wasn't that great. Kind of made me feel sick to my stomach, kind of made me feel dizzy. And then by the time I like took my first edible after surgery, it was amazing. And I think it's sad that we have an opioid epidemic when like weed is just so good. But that's another story. Yeah, the antibiotics sucked. They threw everything off. If you know, you know, fuck antibiotics. I mean, we need them for like preventing infections and stuff, but like that was like the only really big like complication I had after surgery. But anyway, other things when you're recovering from a hysterectomy, you can't have penetrative sex for 3 months, but you can still have orgasms. So you just have to get like really creative. So I mean, that was fun. Not mad about it. And then I also had to get really creative with my workouts because like I couldn't do anything to like that would put strain on my stomach. So I've kind of like developed like a dad bod, like a beer belly, Buddha belly looking vibe since then. But that's okay. I've just been like walking. I would like lift weights while laying on the ground to prep for my top surgery, which I'm currently recovering from top surgery right now. But yeah, so I just do like lots of like leg work and, lots of like flights and stuff to like work out my chest and my arms. And then I went on a visit with my doctor for my post-op visit. And, she showed me pictures of my uterus because I asked for pictures. I wanted her to take pictures of the uterus after it was out of my body. Like I wanted to see, you know, like, I wanted to like pretend like I was like a mob boss and just sort of be like, I want proof that it's dead, you know, but like I didn't get pictures of it. They wouldn't let me keep the uterus. I really wanted to do like a witchy moon offering with it, but whatever. But I was able to get pictures of it while it was like still inside and like see where like the endometriosis was. It was fucking trippy. Anyway, so yeah, so that's like what the recovery period was like. Now, I am 4 months post-op. My PMS is so much more milder. Like, I don't really have, like, severe PMDD anymore. You know, I might get a little tearful the week before, might be a little more sensitive, a little cranky. I might get, like, a phantom cramp, but it'll last for a second. So that's a really big deal. I have so much more energy at the end of the month, which is amazing because it's like, now that I think about it, it's like, I feel like that organ was a parasite, you know, it's like every month it's like hoarding my nutrients and vitamins and stuff. And then just like shedding them for a baby. Fuck no. And so, yeah, I just like, now that that parasite organ is gone, I have so much more fucking energy. I'm not all lightheaded. I'm not getting like the dizziness and the clumsiness from losing blood. So that is such a game changer. I'm like, who is this? I'm a lot happier. I'm feeling a lot less drained. Now that like I understand that I had endometriosis, I'm no longer having like painful like sex or like painful like bleeding afterwards or just like random bleeding, which are also symptoms of endometriosis. So that's like amazing. I'm just like, what? You mean like you're not supposed to be in pain all the time? Like,
Wow, I'm not having like as much like random like pelvic pain for no reason. I probably have like a lot of like stored trauma and like tightness in that area, but like just like stretching and like yin yoga and like pelvic floor therapy like has really helped with that. So it's gotten a lot better. I don't have periods anymore. Like that alone is just a fucking miracle. I'm just like, what? Like what? Like I just don't have to deal with it anymore. Another thing that makes me really happy is that I can buy and wear light colored underwear now. Don't get me wrong, I love black, but if I feel like wearing like light pastel colors or just fun colors, I can be carefree about it for like the first time, like since I was a kid. I can like enjoy that now and not worry about them like getting ruined by blood. Such a simple thing, but it's really exciting. In general, I'm just a lot happier. I'm relieved that I will never have to deal with the bullshit side effects of hormonal birth control or the barbaric like hormonal birth control devices that are out there ever the fuck again. And I'm relieved that I will never have children. Literally, anytime I hear a kid screaming or a baby crying, I'm just like, huh. That will never be me. I will never have to deal with that or be responsible for that ever. What a fucking relief. And I'm no longer like paranoid about pregnancy anymore. And because of that, I also feel like my younger self is like healing too. Because like if older me could tell them, like, hey, like you don't have to go through this anymore. Like I'm taking that responsibility, that fear away from you. And that's just really healing to my younger self. So yeah, I'm really grateful I was able to go through this. I'm really grateful that I was able to finally get relief and like validation from my doctors. And while I'm really relieved, I also wish that like other people could have this experience who want to, because I know so many people who have endometriosis, who've already had kids, who have severe dysphoria around their period, who have PMS and PMDD, and they don't want their fucking uterus anymore, and doctors won't listen to them. Or doctors are like, well, we have to sign off on, like, your husband has to sign off, or your husband has to give you permission. And that's fucking bullshit. Like, it is bullshit that there are people who know that they don't want this organ, that they don't want to have kids, and yet they're not allowed to take control for their bodies, for their health. And this is a huge problem for people with uteruses, and this is an issue that's steeped in medical sexism and bigotry, and yeah, there's a lot of issues around that. And like another question that I heard another queer person bring up is like, it's sort of like sus that like once you like express that you're like non-binary or trans, that then the doctors are willing to give you the surgery, because it's like, are they doing this because I don't identify as a woman now? And so now, because I'm not technically a woman, like I suddenly have more medical rights, or I suddenly have more autonomy over my body. Like, is that it? Or is it that, the medical field doesn't want trans people to reproduce? I don't know. Kind of disturbing when you think about it, but it's worth, mulling over and like kind of like debating about, I think. But then meanwhile, right now, all over the country, there's all sorts of horrible legislation being passed that's impeding on trans kids and their rights to get medical care and to get gender-affirming care. And it's making it difficult, if not impossible, and dangerous for their families to be able to advocate for them in getting this care. And so we need to be continuing to have these conversations. We need to continue to like write to our Congress people and to vote and to call our representatives, because there's a lot of bullshit going on in this country that's making it difficult and dangerous for queer people and women and marginalized groups. Whew. So yeah, it's a doozy out there, and it's my wish that anyone who wants gender-affirming care, or anybody who has a uterus and doesn't want it anymore, can have the right to make that decision without having to jump through a bunch of hoops and bullshit. But anyway, so yeah, that is my journey. That's been my experience with getting a hysterectomy, and I hope that this was informative and helpful, I guess. but yeah, thank you all so much for listening and supporting my channel, supporting the content that I make and the art that I make. And yeah, if you want more updates, you can follow me on Instagram at @dabby_longlegs. That's where I post most of my updates. You can also ask me questions or send requests for future videos and episodes. Until then, stay safe out there. Live deliciously, my darlings. Bye.